This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Danielle Beck. Danielle is with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Caught up with her recently at the Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show in Houston. You'll hear that conversation in just a few moments. First off, Dr. Gary Schnitke, University of Illinois Ag Economist on crop insurance.
We are in the month of February and beginning to set our projected prices for crop insurance. At this point in time, it looks like our projected price for corn will be $5.70 and for soybeans $13.50. Those prices will be higher than we've seen in recent years, compared to $4.58 last year for corn and $9.17 for soybeans. So they'll be much higher, but and thereby providing a higher guarantee, but at the same time, our cost have increased.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Danielle Beck with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Great to see you.
It's great to see you.
Okay. Cattle Industry Convention, NCBA Trade Show, Houston for the first time. How's it going?
You know, I couldn't be happier to be here. I have joked, I think, for the 6 years I've been with NCBA, that tax policy provides a lot of great job security until it doesn't. And, you know, 6 months ago when we were all together over in Tennessee, you know, I joked with our membership then that I was going to fight like heck to ensure that our producers weren't having to bear the burden of whatever Build Back Better agenda happened, right? And I'm really thrilled to be here and to be able to say that I've made good on that promise to the best of my ability, right? You know, Congress still has a lot of work to do. There's a lot up in the air, but where U.S. cattle producers are and where all of agriculture and family-owned businesses are, for that matter, today, as opposed to what we were looking at a year ago, are two very different positions. And I think we're in a much better spot now.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, you rolled the clock back a few years ago and we had some major tax overhaul. First off, was that beneficial for the industry? And that would have been, I guess, under the Trump administration led by Kevin Brady of the Houston area as chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. How did that shake out? Was it good?
Yeah. TCJA, or the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, was a boon for cattle producers and I think all family-owned business entities across the board. You know, unfortunately, a lot of the relief that was provided under TCJA is not permanent. So I think one of the biggest, most critical provisions in that bill was expansion of the unified credit on the estate tax or the death tax, and so expanded death tax relief. The exclusion limit for an individual went from 5 million to 10 million overnight, and then for couples, 10 to 20. That is tremendously helpful when you're talking about how to transition your family-owned business onto the next generation. But we know that that is set to sunset in 2026. And so how do we ensure that all of our family-owned businesses can continue on? How can we set our producers up for success, that next generation, to carry on their family's legacy? If you look at inflation, if you look at the cost of everything, rising land values, that relief is needed now more than ever. Luckily, we were able to beat back a very misguided proposal that would have restricted that relief. But we still have more work to do, whether it's permanency on the current TCJA side or looking at other proposals like expanding out that 2032A special use valuation so that it's a relief that's very narrowly targeted to ag and those who need it most.
Let's talk about another issue that I'm sure you've been dealing with as well, and we're at the ninth anniversary of Cargill closing that Plainview, Texas packing plant. At the time, big-time drought across Texas. We had lost a lot of the herd at the time. Things have changed somewhat over the last 10 years, but where are we as we go into 2022 and beyond when it comes to processing capacity?
You know, Tony, lessons learned from the COVID-19 pandemic, I think it really highlighted just how fragile our beef supply chain is. And if we look towards increasing resiliency, bolstering the U.S. beef supply chain, processing capacity is a core component of that. You know, when you look at the cattle markets and where we are today, I think that increasing competition means an increase in hook space. And we want more players. We want to empower small, mid-sized facilities. And I think they have a really important role to play when it comes to marketing our producers' products. But we also want to ensure that we're setting them up for success in the long term, right? You know, the last thing we want to do is see all of these new facilities come online only for 5 years down the road, them to go belly up and then get scooped up for pennies on the dollar by one of the big four. And so we have been really thrilled to see both the last administration and this administration's attentiveness to processing capacity issues. We have seen several different programs come out of USDA already, and we know that there are several in the works, whether it's guaranteed loans for the expansion of existing facilities, as well as the construction of new facilities, grant programs to really set these businesses up for success when it comes to food safety, all of those technical assistance issues, workforce training and development. You know, I think it's going to take a multifaceted approach because there isn't a silver bullet here, right? But we are looking forward to working with USDA because we expect to see newer programs coming out this spring over the summertime, and we know that they've said that this is just the beginning. And so we've got a lot more work to do, but I think it's a bright future and it's going to be a fun project.
We didn't get where we are today overnight, though. I mentioned that 9 years ago. Obviously, it takes time. Can the industry be patient as we get where we're going? I mean, how important is it to know? We just may have to hold our breath along the way.
I think that we are closer than one would expect, but I'm going to knock on wood because I don't want to jinx myself, right? I think patience is certainly a virtue, and when you've been through the ringer for, I don't know, almost three calendar years at this point, it's hard to say be patient and hold on for a little bit longer. But I firmly believe, and I'm pretty sure all of my colleagues here at NCBA believe as well, that the future is bright.
Speaking of bright, labeling has had a spotlight on it. And there's a lot of different things underneath that labeling umbrella. What are you watching?
So, Tony, one of my responsibilities is leading our business team, right? So our issue areas, we focus on how to the policies and the regulations that will allow all of our producers to run viable business entities, profitable businesses. Labeling, I think, is going to be a core component moving forward, whether you're talking about fake meat products that are competing directly against beef and trying to trade on beef's good name. And we have been leading the charge since day one there. And, you know, I'm really proud of the progress we've made. And I think we're all looking forward to see what may come out of USDA and FDA in the future, although I think that's probably a longer term project, right? But, you know, again, when it comes to producer profitability, consumers love beef. They want to eat beef. They want to know where their food is coming from. How do we ensure that there are those opportunities available for our producers? And we have been working to initiate Product of USA labeling reforms because we think that that's the best near-term opportunity. You know, right now, the label as it stands, it's generically approved. It can be applied to any product coming in through an FSIS inspected facility, whether it's of foreign or domestic origin. We think that there is a potential to mislead consumers in an unhelpful and unfortunate way. But on top of that, because it's a generically approved label, it doesn't benefit cattle producers. So we want to see USDA reform that label, do away with Product of USA, replace it with something more appropriately descriptive, like processed in USA, but then pivot and work on outreach and education so that cattle producers are aware of all of the different myriad of labeling opportunities that are voluntary, verified, and will allow them to capture greater premiums for their product. We think that's the way to go, right? And so just this week, USDA announced that they will be moving forward on a survey to determine, you know, consumer perceptions of these labels. After we submitted our petition to USDA, they announced that they would be initiating a top-to-bottom review. And so this is the first step towards those reforms. But, you know, taking a couple steps back, Tony, if you look at the big four, right, they're protein companies. They're not beef companies. And then you look at some of the leading fake meat companies and how they market their products versus a protein company. Nobody is better positioned to sell and I think put forward their product to the consumer than beef producers themselves. And I think there is a tremendous amount of opportunity if USDA is meaningful in how they initiate some of these reforms. to allow our producers to accomplish just that. You know, if you look at the Kentucky Beef Program, it's my favorite example to utilize. It's PVP, voluntarily approved. I think they're seeing a tremendous amount of success. They're working directly with a very small processor in the area, helping that processor have a dedicated market. I think it's exactly how a viable niche chain can work, right? And it could serve as the example across the board, but when you're looking at competing with fake meat products on the market, these disruptive technologies, empowering the people who are most passionate about producing it and selling it to be the ones marketing it as well, it's going to be exciting to see what happens, I guess.
Speaking of exciting, exciting to see you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for all the work you're doing. We wish you the best in 22.
Thank you so much for being here and for allowing me the opportunity to visit with you.
Danielle Beck is with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association on today's Agribusiness Report.
For 40 years, United Ag has been committed to ensuring the vitality of the ag industry. United Ag helps protect your future and the future of your workforce. Join United Ag and take advantage of up-to-date information on pending legislation and immigration reform, advocacy, health benefits, and leadership opportunities. United Ag is here to ensure your farm makes it to the next generation. Join us at www.unitedag.org. That's unitedag.org.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Danielle Beck, National Cattlemen's Beef Association in D.C.
What can you get for 2 cents these days? How about new, more efficient wheat varieties, better market access for Texas wheat producers, and increased demand to your product? Each year, the Texas Wheat Producers Board achieves these goals by investing producer contributions to promote wheat through research, education, and market development. Who knew 2 cents could be so valuable? A message from the Texas Wheat Producers Board.
Second best isn't good enough when it comes to your tractor's performance. You know what? We know it. That's why we run Fendt tractors. One test drive can show you the difference between a great tractor and a truly exceptional machine. Ready to set up a demo? Get behind the wheel of a Fendt to experience it for yourself and see why the best run operations run Fendt. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Well, when we look at the dairy industry, can they drive consumer demand higher with liquid milk and through the school lunch menus, if you will? Marilyn Hershey is a dairy producer from Pennsylvania. She's also chairwoman of the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers in Action.
We have to deliver a quality product to the kids. Not only do they deserve to have a quality nutritional product, and, you know, milk is a commodity, is a part of the plate that is mandated. It is required to be in schools. But we have to give them a quality product. And I'll say that is a place we have got to improve on. There's a lot of opportunity there. Whether we're talking fat content, that's one thing. You know, kids deserve to have that higher fat in their milk. Their brains need it. Their bodies need it, for development and to be able to learn at the best opportunity they have. But it's not just that. It has to be delivered in a way that is that kids want to see the milk, okay? So we have so much opportunity with packaging. It's the delivery method in which we are putting it in front of the plate. Is it cold? You know, milk has to be cold. And so there's a lot of opportunity there. On the DM, I'll put my DMI hat on for a little bit. We are doing some test pilots, presenting milk to kids in schools in some very unique and flavorful ways, and it's going well. So I'm anxious to see where we can go in the future with this, But please know we see that as a huge opportunity.
Marilyn Hershey, dairy producer from Pennsylvania. It's the Agribusiness Report.
What can you get for 2 cents these days? How about new, more efficient wheat varieties? Better market access for Texas wheat producers and increased demand to your product. Each year, the Texas Wheat Producers Board achieves these goals by investing producer contributions to promote wheat through research, education, and market development. Who knew 2 cents could be so valuable? A message from the Texas Wheat Producers Board.
Second best isn't good enough when it comes to your tractor's performance. You know what? We know it. That's why we run Fendt tractors. One test drive can show you the difference between a great tractor and a truly exceptional machine. Ready to set up a demo? Get behind the wheel of a Fendt to experience it for yourself and see why the best run operations run Fendt. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Ambassador Sarah Bianchi, Deputy U.S. Trade Representative, says as the Phase 1 trade deal with China comes to an end, they have tools to hold China accountable.
Well, you know, it's not our goal to escalate here, but certainly we're looking at all of the tools that we have in our toolbox to make sure they're held accountable. The Phase One agreement that the prior administration negotiated, you know, has limits in that regard. But we're going to look at all the tools that we have, and both on the Phase One commitments, and then also, as I mentioned, some of the other concerns that we have about the non-market economic practices that, you know, are really these are unfair economic practices that are hurting our businesses. So we're going to look at everything available to us.
And while not